The Lord's been dealing with me over the last few years about the born again trail and what it means to be born again. I remember sitting in Pastor Dave's, or I think it was my car, but having coffee with Pastor Dave a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, 9 years ago now. But I had already listened to the message for a while and, you know, of course, preached some of it. And I've been preaching since I've been 19 years old. And talking to him, and he was sharing, Pastor Dave was sharing about whatever he shares about. You know, I found a long time ago, don't teach Pastor Dave. You really don't have to ask him questions. Just spend time with him. He'll start answering your questions before you ask them. And he was sharing something. All of a sudden, I saw it. I said, what? Wait a minute. Wait. I have a new nature? And he looked at me like, yeah. You know, the Hebrew way of knowledge is when it's part of you. See, when it becomes part of you. The Greek way of knowledge is when you know something. And when something becomes you, becomes part of you, it's no longer a thought process. It's no longer, how many have driven your car home from work to the same road 1,000 times and then you get home and you don't remember how you got home? Right? And have left to go to church and you realize, oh, I do have my Bible. You know, or you look in your hands and you have your hat instead of your Bible. It's like, what? How did I do that? But it's just there. Your wallets or your purse is with you. And when something is a part of you and who you are, it's no longer a process or an outward thing or a work. And, you know, when you talk to people, you can talk to them about all kinds of things. How are you doing? Good. And if you talk to one person, you say, yeah, how's the house? Nice. How's the car? Good. How's the weather? Hot. How's the kids? Oh, my kids. Let me tell you about my kids. My children. And they go on and on and on and on and on. Well, you just found out what's in them. You know, it's not hard to talk to people. You just have to find out what's in them. You know, some people, it's, you just talk about them. And they go, oh yeah, me. You get around some preachers and, yeah, me. I met one preacher in the airport not too long ago. And I traveled with Brother Norville for many years and got to meet a lot of the well-known preachers that I made. It was never in me. I never got a picture with them. I never interrupted them. I never got an autograph or asked for anything or hinted, you know, I'm a preacher too. I was just there, and God blessed me with meeting many of them and getting to know some of them. But this man I never met, and I met him in the airport getting right on the same airplane. And I thought, I'm going to say hi to him. You know, I'm going to be one of those guys. And I said hi to him and talked to him for a little bit and tried to make small talk. And I got invited to his conference, not to preach, to attend. I got invited to his website. And it was so funny because we were sitting there talking, and he said, all of a sudden he said, yeah, I've got 4.5 million miles on this airline. And we're selling my airplane right now. I got it from, he named the five famous preachers who had it before him. So we're selling it now, and I thought, well, okay, I've got 400.3 miles on this airline. I thought, when did this become a show-off competition, you know? And, you know, because he went on to tell me, I preach this many days a week, a year, and the Lord spoke to me and said, there's nothing in you that wants what he has. And so he doesn't know what to do with you. So he's trying to impress you. But when the message, I remember the message of the born again trail, that you are born of God, when it gets into you, it becomes part of you. When the Word gets into and becomes part of you. I'm not talking just about the message of the born again trail, but anything of God, when it becomes part of you, it's no longer a work to receive, you receive. To know that you are His child, the day it clicked in my heart that I am His child, born of Him. I'm no longer human. This human flesh will fall off of me one day, and then everything from Adam will be left here. You will not see anything from Adam on me after this earth. It'll all be of Jesus. When this flesh is off of me, when I saw that's who I am. I'm born of God. I'm a child of God. Not just in word, but that's who I am. Every bit of fear started to leave me. I used to be afraid of failing. I used to be afraid of struggling. I mean, even as a preacher, listen, even as a preacher, I spent many days waiting for God to fire me. And He wouldn't fire me. Many times I thought, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified. Or I made a mistake. Or I'm struggling. Or I didn't read my Bible enough. Or I didn't pray enough. Or I didn't fast enough. And I remember trying to calculate how much prayer and fasting went on in this place and thinking, man, it'll take me, I'll be 75 by the time I catch up to some of these people, you know. That's if I don't eat for 30 years. And trying to earn instead of become. How many have felt unqualified for what God has for them? Well, you should put your hand up. Because you are. Everything in you will not qualify. What qualifies you is who you are, not what you do. Not what you can do, but who you are. To know that you're born of God. The struggle you go through of failing, of feeling a failure with your flesh, with your thoughts, your emotions, with your goals. God believes in you. Don't ever forget that. I was afraid every day for years that I would not be good enough. That my mistakes, my failures, my disappointments would disqualify me. I remember, I was in Sacramento getting ready to preach. I was in the hotel room and walking down the hallway to the bathroom. And all of a sudden I saw a little image of my baby girl, Ava. And she was standing there. Just an image. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, could you ever trade her for someone else? I said, no, never. He said, I can never trade you either. Because I had been taught, it was in me, because religion gets in you. It was in me that said, if you don't fulfill your calling, someone else will. If you don't use your talents, God will take your talents and give them to someone else to use. Which isn't even what that scripture talks about. That God will take from you and give to someone else, and you'll disqualify yourself. God promotes you for different reasons than man does. So say this with me. Say, I am born again. My Father loves me. My Father believes in me. Now, you have to realize that it's not only on Him to make your future come to pass. I had one lady come up to me and she said, I got all these prophecies that I would do this and I would go there and this would happen. And it's been 20 years and nothing's happened. And I said, she said, you're all false prophets. I said, well, if it was 20 years ago, it could be true. I said, ma'am, I said, don't give up on your calling. I said, but you know, you have something to do with this. You can't get a word or a vision of your future. That vision isn't to tell you that's where you'll be. That vision is to tell you that's where you'll be if you follow me. That's what that means. That vision is to tell you as you overcome things that I ask you to overcome, that's where we'll end up. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I think I want to start in chapter 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Say this with me. I am born again. I am born from above. I'm no longer human. I am crucifying the human part of me. And I am walking in the Christ part of me. Every thought you have has two voices. Every problem you face has two voices. When you look in the mirror, you'll hear two voices. One is from your flesh, and one is from your spirit. One will tell you things that are not true, and one will always tell you the truth. Someone said to me, they said, oh, I can't wait for God to come. God's going to come tonight. And I said, no, He's not. I'm preaching. I said, no, He's not going to come tonight. I said, He came 2,000 years ago. We don't need a move of God tonight. Because He moved 2,000 years ago. It's already done. Walking in it doesn't need for you and I to walk into the things that God has for us. It doesn't require a move from heaven. It doesn't require heaven to open up and sprinkle down gold dust. It doesn't require an angel to show up and deliver something to you. Everything was delivered at the cross by Jesus and given to you as part of the family of God. The moment you're born again, you are born into the family of God. There's absolutely nothing in your life that has the power to stop you from fulfilling your call anymore. Not your past, not your weakness, not your struggles, not your mistakes. There's nothing you are facing in your life today that has the power to stop you. You don't need heaven to move. It's already moved. Heaven is supposed to move through us for the world. I love what Gary said earlier. So I went up there and wasn't much to pray for. They're already healed. They're already walking in it. Part of being a believer is accepting that you're born again. I'm kind of from the old school, I guess. I've been from the old school since I've been 19. And that says, you show up, and you do your job. I can imagine some construction worker calling in. Hey, boss. Yeah, Joe. Can't make it in. What's wrong? Did you cut your arm off? No. You in a horrible accident? Nope. Did your mama die? Nope. Well, what's wrong? I'm just having an emotional day today. You know, I just don't feel right. I don't feel good about things. I just feel, you know, maybe tomorrow I'll feel better. The day that you allow your emotions to detour you. See, I understand having an emotional day, emotional week, emotional year. I can understand not liking what I'm doing, not liking where God has me, not appreciating the value of what God has me doing. I understand all those things. Who cares? Do your job. Show up. Pray. You know, well, someone says, you know, I've been taken out for 2 years, what God's told me to do, but God told me today. Why? Okay, well, what are you going to do about that? If you let it take you out, someone hurt me. Well, I'm starting to preach now. I need to get back to the pulpit. Let's go back to Scripture. If you let something take you out, you understand? Maybe so you didn't get your way. Someone took your seat. Maybe someone else got to sing or preach and you didn't. When you let that take you out, competition, jealousies, envies, bitterness, strife. When you let that remove you from what God, where God put you, what God told you to do, then you're being trained by your emotions instead of training your emotions. I had a young guy call me for Bible's college, and he said, yeah, we approved him to come. He said, I'm so excited to be there. I'm really happy to be there. Good, we're happy to have you. We'll see you in a month. Good, I'm going to come this time. And I said, this time? Yeah. He said, I've been trying to come, for like 3 years. He said, but I'm coming this year. And I said, okay. He said, yeah. It's the darnest thing. Every year, right before I get ready to come to school, my finances go to pot. So I don't make it. But I'll be there this year. And I said, no, you won't. I said, what? I said, no, you won't be here. What do you mean? I'm coming. I said, no, you won't. I said, because the funniest thing is going to happen. Right before you get ready to come, your finances are going to go to pot. He didn't show up. Because when you allow things in your life to tell you who you are or what you can have or what you can do, including your emotions, your selfishness, your religion, no man can stop God's promotion from happening to you. And when it starts to happen to you, get ready, because people get jealous. They'll start to compare themselves. I pray more. I do more. I deserve more. I should be me. God's promotion comes for different reasons than man's. There's only one person who can promote you, if I can say the word person, into your place in the body. And that's God. You don't want anyone else's. So wherever you're called, whatever He has for you, you have to anchor it in who you are, His child. The reason we do things is not to get things. It's because it's what we do. When I get to be a big time preacher, or then watch me be faithful. Then watch me. Watch what I do. No, you have to be faithful in the little things before you're faithful in the big things. See, whatever your calling is, you're going to get tired of it. Because it's going to be work. You understand? Your calling is work. Oh, I'm preaching good. Your calling is work. It's going to require of you your heart, your time. How many have given their heart into ministry? Now, I know a lot of hands are going up. And I know that some of you have been abused and hurt and have been in positions where you needed time after to be healed. I understand that. Not everyone needs time to be healed, but many of you do. I understand. But ministry is given of yourself. And if you look to ministry to feed you, or let me put it this way, if you look at your calling to feed you, if you look at what I give as who I am, then you will be someone who uses ministry to feed yourself. See, I am not a preacher. I am a child of God. My job is to preach. My calling is to preach. But it's not who I am. The day that becomes who I am, you imagine my pretty little, I got a pretty wife. I'm so blessed. Can you imagine my pretty wife saying, "You're such a good preacher. I'm in love with you because you're so handsome when you preach. You're so anointed. That anointing just, oh, it just means so much to me. Oh, thank you, baby. Will you marry me? Oh, I'll marry you and that anointing." And then after the service, I come home. And she says, you know, it's kind of like when that guy marries that girl in Las Vegas, that showgirl. Says, gets off, gets married real quick, doesn't know her, and then on the honeymoon, she says, "Hold on," and she unscrews her arm, takes off her wig. She's a singer, you know. He's like, you know, that's why he was liked her. Takes off her fake leg. And he's looking at her, and he says, "Sing, baby, sing." I get home to my pretty wife after preaching, and she has a good look at me. She goes, "Well, where's the anointing?" Oh, well, that's that's when I do my job. Because your woman doesn't want you anointed. She wants you to take out the trash. She wants you to pay the bills. She wants you to be a good husband and a good father. I can't do those things, baby, because I'm anointed. All the women say, "Shut up. Get a job." We had one girl I was counseling with, and they were sleeping together, and they were living together at his mom's house. And they wanted me to marry them. And I said, "Let me tell you something, honey." I said, "Right now it's all cute and sweet and fancy. You wake up in your mom's, his mom's basement, in a his room. You wake up and it's 10 p.m. and you've been out partying all night. And you look over and go, 'Oh, I love this guy.'" I said, "But the day you get married, things switch. A woman starts to look to her husband to take care of him. And then you're going to look at him and say, 'Get up. Get out, get a job.' You start getting bitter towards him." So many believers look to their calling as their identity. It makes them feel good. It doesn't have to be preaching, because we're called to many things. Maybe you're called to be a mama. Some of you here are incredible mamas and you need to flourish a little more, because there's so many broken people here who need lots of love from a mama. A hug, a kiss, a cake. Homemade cake, you know, the real deal, not out of a box. You know, nowadays you tell your wife, "Can you make a cake?" Yeah, let me Google it and get a box, like real cake. You know, be a mama. But yeah, you know, I was in a prayer line and this girl came up and she was crying and weeping, and this mama came running up and hugged her and started to just hold on to her, and the Lord instructed me and said, "Have her stop that." I said, "Whoa, you know, God, you know, she's have her." It was strong. Have her stop that. And so I sweetly asked the mama lady to remove herself from the other girl. And what the Lord told me was, this little girl was weeping and crying and connecting with God, and the mama wanted that connection. So she came up and was trying to steer that emotion to her, you know. And she's still called to be a mama, but she has to overcome using what she does to feed herself. You're supposed to be fed in one place, and that's from your time and your presence and your walk with God. And what you do, see, then we'll quit fighting for what we do. We still have this thing in us that says, unless I'm preaching, I'm not important. Unless I'm prophesying, I'm not important. Unless I'm singing, I'm not important. Unless I'm got a microphone, I'm not important. Your calling, no matter what it is just important. I was putting Harrison to bed. This had to be about a year or so ago, and he said, "Daddy, his room's dark, and we have a kind of a bunk bed with no bottom bunk, so." And so he's looking at me out of the eye. "Daddy?" I said, "Yeah." "Daddy," I always tell him, he's been thinking, "Daddy, do you love God more than me?" And I said, out of my mouth came, "Yes." And he said, "I thought so." Well, I think he learned that in school or something, but I went to the kitchen, the Lord rebuked me. And I went back into his room and I apologized. I said, "Son, I do not love God more than you. I love him differently than you." I said, "I couldn't love anyone more than I love you." See, sometimes we get that a little mixed up. We think my job is to love God more, and therefore, because I'm busy doing things for God, I don't have time for you. Now the scripture says, if you want to only have time for God, then be single. But when you accept the responsibility of a woman or a husband, a wife or a husband, you are in front of God, because God stands up there with you. You are accepting a role that says, I will be a wife. I will be a helpmate. I will do wifely things. Stopping there. And as a husband, you say, I will be a husband, and I will do husbandly things, and I'll be responsible for certain things. And so when we try to trump each other with, yeah, I can't do my responsibility because I am doing God's work, that's not what that verse means. One young man said, "Yeah, head of the house, you know." I said, "Head of the house is not macho. It doesn't mean you get to do what you want." I said, "Head of the house means you're responsible to make sure that your house follows God. And a lot of times it means you don't get to do what you want if you're smart." When we take our calling, whatever it may be, and we use it to feed ourselves, to feel good, to feel purpose. See, that's why the purpose-driven writings is dangerous. There's some of it that's really good. It's okay to feel purpose. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it feeds you, when you're fed by purpose, you will be led by purpose. And we're not to be led by purpose. We're to be led by the Holy Ghost. And there has been long, drawn-out seasons in my life where I have been led to a place where I felt purposeless and useless. And the reasoning for that, I believe, was to get me to a place to where I didn't look at what I did as who I am. We don't do anything to get God to give us something. We don't supposed to give our money. We're not supposed to give our worship. We're not supposed to give our time. Everything we do is our job. And so when you don't feel good, I don't feel worth anything. I don't feel deserving. And you allow that emotion to take you on a ride. Some joy rides are 5 minutes long on that emotional ride. Some joy rides are 5 years long. And they will cost you. I don't like to hear, I'm okay to hear, but it bothers me when I hear, the Lord has shown me what has taken me out of doing what God told me to do. I want to say, well, you better fix it. Because you'll come back to me in another 5 years and tell me, oh, now I know what the next step is. No, what you do is you say, okay, I have a problem. Shut up, problem. I'm still going to do what God told me to do while I have a problem. I'm still going to show up. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to serve. I'm still going to be involved while I am overcoming this problem. It's not your right to make a move in your life without God telling you to do it. Say this with me. I'm born again. That means you're a child of God. Oh, sorry, I was saying that. That is also where you are to get all of your identity. You know, I understand that there's order and there's structure, isn't anything. But for a man to feel more important than someone else, to feel more spiritual than someone else, to be more special than someone else, I have two kids, and I watch them fight. And the worst thing you could do to a family with two kids is to bring one present. Because two kids know. They know. Hey. Even if it's his birthday, they still want a present. You know, I got a popsicle. Where's mine? You're supposed to love your children equally. Pastor Dave tells the story of Rosalie calling in the boys. Come here, sit on my lap, Bill. You're my favorite. But don't tell anybody. Steve, sit on my lap. I love you, Steve. You're my favorite. Don't tell anybody. Daniel, come here. You're my favorite. He doesn't look at you less than anyone else. And we begin to make that part of us. What I love about my dad, he's my dad, it's my stepdad, but he's my dad. He's an old farmer, loves the farm. He's one of those guys that tinker. So you never find him in the house. From daylight, even after he retired, from daylight to midnight, he's fixing something, building something, doing something, mowing something, cutting something, breaking something, rebuilding something. He's a farmer. He loves outside. And what I love about him is he took a retirement type job where he would go test soil for these large farms. And they test the soil to see what fertilizer they need. And he has friendships and coffee and fellowship with these guys who are worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. They own, you know, you start off as a farm and then you buy up the acreage and then you give it to your kids and they buy up more, and pretty soon you got this monster farm that produces so much money. And my dad, he knows all the farmers. He'll call up. We went shooting gophers. We took Harrison out on his first gopher shooting experience. And he called up. I mean, I had one guy worth $10 million opening gates for my dad and me and Harrison, driving us around as normal as can be. What I love about my dad, he doesn't have a lot of money. But he's right at home with them, right comfortable with him. He doesn't feel any less than them. That's how you should feel around whoever you're with. And if, just like at that airport, that guy was so uncomfortable. And it wasn't because I was, maybe I was one of those guys, you know. But he didn't know what to do with me because I didn't need him. I wasn't asking for meetings. I didn't need meetings. I wasn't asking for connections. I wasn't asking for approval. I wasn't asking for anything. I was just saying, how are you? I saw you on TV many times. Nice to meet you. He didn't know what to do with that. In our family, there's no great man. Just one. Jesus. There's no special callings. You understand that? Your calling is just as important, and just as important that you get there. And when we look to what we do, and we allow what we do to feed us, to feed who we are, to make us feel worth, feel purpose, then you're on a dangerous road, because you will use it. You can tell the preachers. I could always tell the preachers who never served, because they didn't serve when they were preaching. They were using the people, sometimes for money, sometimes for glory. But you can always tell the men who served. I was in one church, and I was in the bathroom before the service, and I went to one urinal, excuse my language, and there was a piece of trash in the urinal. So I thought, oh, so I moved to the next urinal. And while I was doing my business at the next urinal, another man in a nice suit, a very distinguished man, walked in, went to the urinal beside me. And, you know, when you're at the urinal, you don't really look or talk much. And this guy walked in, and I was like, hey. And he stopped, and he stepped back, and he stuck his hand in that urinal and picked up that trash and put it in the garbage. Washed his hands, finished his business, washed his hands, and left. I thought, wow. Good for him. I got into the sanctuary, sat down, and guess who the pastor was? You know what the Lord told me? Why do you think he's the pastor? We're all called. You're important. How important? As important as Apostle Paul? Yes, you are. He loves you how much? As much as he loved Jesus? That's how much. The power of God is not subject. If you learn anything at the prayer center, you should learn the power of God is not for the preaching preachers alone. It's for the believers and the body of all callings, of all shapes and sizes, of all vocations, to walk in power because of who you are, not because of what you do. Now, many of what I'm saying has taken me many years to get this into me. I know there's a lot more that's got to get into me. When I first started listening to Pastor Dave's tapes, I'd listen to one or two and then have to stop, because it wasn't in me. And I had to stop and re-listen to those one and two until I felt I got it into me. I didn't feel like I deserved the next one. And I was scared of getting too much knowledge, you know. No, I mean, you can get too much knowledge. When I coached baseball, Little League baseball. I was 18 years old. I coached my little brother's team. And the first year we had a group of kids that were all had played for their whole life. And we had a good pitcher. And I didn't play baseball much, so I just kind of learned as I went, but I could coach. So I coached. And we went all the way to the provincial championship. We lost, but we went all the way there. And then the next year, my little brother played. They asked me to coach, so I coached. And there was like one kid who played before. All the other kids had never played before. They didn't know how to, you got to run past first base. I had to teach them, don't slide in the first base. I had to teach them just the basics, how to run around, the you know, how to catch, how to throw to the right place. And I could not teach them advanced stuff because it would make them confused about the stuff they're trying to learn. If you just feed yourself with stuff and don't make it part of you, don't make it who you are. See, I'm learning this. The Hebrew people, even in their bar mitzvahs and everything they do, everything about what they do says knowledge becomes part of me. It isn't knowledge until it's part of me and I'm living it. The Greeks were full of intellects who said knowledge is information. What I learned. You're called. Not only are you born again, you're in a body. And you have a part in that body. Each of us do. And there's not one part that is less important than the other. First Corinthians chapter 2. He's in a city, a part of Greece. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you in excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not of persuasive words or persuasive words of human wisdom. He's in Greece as he's sharing this. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There's many parts to the body. There's many places in the body. You have a place. Don't fight for something that's not yours. You don't want it. If you're not called to it, let me tell you, you'll be miserable. But when you find your place and find what you're called to, and God says, now I want you to walk in your calling, let me tell you, it's going to fit you like a glove. Until that time, and I don't believe that I am in my calling yet. I'm doing what I'm called to do, but I don't believe that God's promoted me to my place yet. I've always felt that. I'm hoping it'll come one day. But I'm okay with that. Because I do what He tells me to do. That's my job. And my job is to do what He tells me to do and not get moved because I don't feel like it. I don't feel good about it. It's not working for me. It's not paying me enough. It's not giving me enough. It's not feeding my emotions enough. Yeah, God will tell you what your problem is, but who cares? And I don't mean that mean. I'm saying your problem doesn't disqualify you either. God says do it. Don't say, well, I'm not ready yet. You don't have a right to say you're not ready yet. God will tell you when you're ready. You don't know what you can do. Do you know? They in the Olympics have a pole vaulting competition. Do you ever see that on TV? How many have ever pole vaulted? We've got a few of you. Good. Hold your hand up. Big hand for them, please. That's a dangerous looking sport right there. That was a sad hand. Big hand for our pole vaulters, please. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you may have never pole vaulted? You don't know if you can pole vault, do you? You think, I can't pole vault. How do you know? You don't know. You don't know what you can do. You have no idea. And when you're in charge of making decisions about what you can do, you will always stop short. The times that I discovered what I could do is when I've been put in circumstances where I had to do more than I think I could do, and everything in me was telling me, you are going to fail. You are going to fall on your face. And I couldn't run. I tried to run, but because I didn't run before, I never made excuses before, I couldn't run then. God put me in places where I thought, there's no way on earth I can do this. Can I go? No. And after I went through it and tortured and sweated, hey, I can do that. Who knew I could do that? Who knew Pastor Dave could sing? Who knew? I tell Nathan all the time, he's one of the praise and worship guys, I say, you're not called to praise and worship. He's not. Praise and worship is something he can do. And it's something he does. But that's not his calling. Maybe part of what he does, but it's not his calling. You're called. You're going to change the world. You are going to change the world. You have a place and a piece of changing the world. Not just you sitting here, everyone who's part of this message. Why do you think you're part of this message? Because something in you rose up and say, there's more for me, there's more for following God than what I have, than what religion has, and it's telling you, don't give up, don't quit. Well, don't give up. You come this far, don't quit. Don't slow down. We got to touch the world with truth. I'm tired of sitting in multi-huge facilities with thousands of Christians being taught powerless gospel. It's like they take a Corvette of the Word and they fill it full of Kool-Aid. Say, I'm going to fill in the pieces of the doctrine. And they fill it full of Kool-Aid and they hop in this Corvette and it's powerless. What you have isn't powerless. What you prayed into you isn't powerless. There's ears that need to hear what's in you. And God cares about you so much and believes in your future so much that He has held you back to grow and to mature so you don't look at what you do as who you are and use the people by what you do to feed who you are so that you won't stop. We don't have to stop. Amen. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Thank you, Father. Say this with me. Say, I'm born again. I'm born from above. God is my Father. I am His child. I'm no longer of this world. I'm no longer of Adam. I am all of God. Say this with me. I am part of a body. God has a position for me in His body. And I will fulfill that position. As I follow Him, He'll place me in my position. And I'm ready to work. Oh, that's a good word. Say that again. I'm ready to work. To see revival to this nation. To see revival to my city. And to see revival in my home. Say, thank you, Father. For never giving up on me. For always believing in me. More than I believed in me. Thank you, Father. For loving me so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're called. You're born of above. Tell yourself, remind yourself. I don't know. It's through the praying in the Holy Spirit. It's through obeying God. But when that revelation hit me that I'm born of God. Whew. I dropped about 38 years of Taylor thinking and Taylor tattooing of my past and my family dropped off of me. And I started thinking, all things are possible. Yeah. Amen. I want to go ahead and release you. If you like prayer, then you're welcome to come meet me on the Green Lion. And God bless you. And we'll see you on Sunday. You are released.